All right. Thank you, Mitch. I will call this meeting to order. It is the October 13th, 2022 meeting of the Salem Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. I am the chair, Dylan McDowell, and we'll go right into roll call. Keith Norris.
I'm here.
Alan Alexander. I believe we don't have Alan yet. Woody Dukes.
Present.
Rick Hartwig.
Here.
Al Holland.
I'm here.
Joan Lloyd. Joan, can you hear us? I see your box there. I want to make, this is always a good sound test more than anything else. We cannot hear you right now, Joan. If you are trying to talk, I may. It might be a good option for you to leave and try and rejoin the meeting. Sometimes that fixes the audio problems. But we will continue on with roll call. Debbie Miller.
Here.
All right. And then Dave, let us know he is going to be absent tonight. All right. Let approval of the agenda. I know it's a newer item, but probably good for us to look that over every time. So appreciate you, Nancy, adding that for us. Are there any changes or adjustments that board members would like for the agenda? Okay. I guess we can do a voice vote. Just all in favor of the agenda, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Approval of the minutes. Let's review our September 8th meeting minutes. Did anyone have any changes or modifications to propose for the minutes?
Move to adopt.
All right. Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Let's go into our public comment period. Are there any members of the public wishing to make public comment? Okay, I'm not hearing any. I will note you may hear my children in the background. I have my 4-month-old twins in the room with me. So if you hear that in the background, that's the noise. they don't have public comment related to parks, just about other things. Let's go right into our board presentations. We have several today. So let's start with the Salem Parks Foundation annual report. Carol Snyder, over to you.
Okay. The year 2022 was the year of Eco Earth for Salem Parks Foundation. We adopted the restoration of the Eco Earth Globe as our special project in November of 2021. We anticipate that it will take close to 2 years to raise the $300,000 necessary to start the restoration. The Eco Earth project was kickstarted with a supportive article by reporter Cappy Lynn in the Statesman Journal. We then formed a special EcoEarth committee of 5, which included Chris Darcy, president of the Salem Public Art Commission, as a valued adjunct member. We devoted much of our quarterly newsletters to articles about the story of EcoEarth and noting its deterioration over 20 years. We hosted information tables at several events, our annual Take a Walk in the Park, in May, Public Works Day in June, the World Beat Festival in June, Salem Art Fair in July, and Capital Jam at the Rotary Amphitheater in August. We testified twice before the City Council regarding the city budget, and the Council approved $112,000 for EcoEarth as a capital improvement project in the 2022-23 budget. In July, EcoEarth was designated a local historic resource by the Council, at the request of the Salem Historic Landmarks Commission and the Salem Public Art Commission. And I was interviewed by Mayor Bennett in September as part of his monthly message on YouTube, and the interview was focused on EcoEarth. The Oregon Beverage Recycling Corporation chose the EcoEarth Globe Restoration Project as its Containers for Change feature in June and awarded us $2,500. We're now dedicating half of our bottle drop proceeds to EcoEarth through 2023. We've garnered over $41,000 in donations for EcoEarth from individuals and groups, and we're now deep into grant writing mode. We have a couple of that we think are going to get through nicely for us. Meanwhile, we continued to fund our Neighborhood Park Grant Program this year, designating $17,164 for 5 projects requested by neighborhood associations. There were an information kiosk at the new D Street Park, 2 picnic tables at McKay Park, a new entrance sign at Minto Brown Island Park, noting that it is a wildlife refuge, a new bench and nut bit dispenser along the walking path at Morningside Park, and a pollinator garden at Northgate Park for the Northgate neighborhood. We were happy to be able to host our Pinot for the Parks wine tasting event in person this September after a 2-year hiatus due to the COVID pandemic. The event raised over $3,200 for our legacy fund with Oregon Community Foundation. And we're looking forward to continuing to support Salem City Parks in 2023. And that was our year.
Thank you, Carol. That's a really impressive list, especially given everything, like you said, that happened. I'm very sorry I had to miss the Pinot in the Parks, but hopefully next year I can join for that.
Yeah, hope so.
Can you reiterate, I was trying to write down the numbers for the EcoEarth. Can you say again, how much do you estimate it to cost and how much have you raised so far?
Yes, the cost we have to come with is $300,000. The cost of the total project is $400,000, but the city is kicking in $112,000 of that. And we're going to try to raise $300,000. And we have so far gathered $41,000 just in individual donations. And now we're going into grant writing and we'll be talking to some businesses as well.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And I know that's a big undertaking, but I will continue to diligently drop off my bottle drops among other things.
Good.
And as a reminder, I know most people know this, but a Salem Parks Foundation, you can very easily get bags from them that are pre-labeled. So you can drop off your bottle drop and the proceeds will go there. And Carol and co are very good about dropping off the bags to make it super easy for you. So especially for our newer SPRAB members, for Joan and Debbie, if you have not done that already, it's a good thing to do if you have the time and interest.
And you can just go to salemparksfoundation.org and you'll give you our contact so you can request the bags.
Any other questions or comments for Carol? Okay, well, thank you as always, Carol. Really helpful to hear what all the different things you're up to. I know I received the quarterly newsletters. Is there a list of just the projects you listed, the different things you funded? I think it's always helpful for us just to know where they are at the parks. I know that Al and Rick just completed a grand tour of all the parks. So I know that they might be interested to know what some of the latest things are. Could you just, even if it's just a bulleted list that you could send out or put in the chat, that'd be helpful for us.
Our next newsletter will list the projects that we funded this year. Okay. But I can actually send out a list of the projects we've funded forever. So, but.
Well, I meant this year, but I mean, whatever's easiest.
Yeah, and I will send my report to Nancy, and it's got that list in it as well.
Perfect. Wonderful. Any final, one more chance if there's any questions or comments for Carol? All right. Thank you so much.
I think I'll head out now.
Okay. Well, have a great rest of your evening. Okay. Thank you so much
for joining us.
All right. Mylan, I see you are on screen just in time. Let us know the latest on Emerald Ash Borer readiness and response.
Sure. Thanks, Dylan. I'll just give an overview sort of where we've been and where we are currently. Obviously, we heard about EAB, and I haven't really talked to you guys about it too much, I know, in the last few months. But, you know, this summer, June 30th, they've identified Emerald Ash Borer in Forest Grove. And since that time, we've sort of put out some information on the website, what residents could do, and sort of just information just about EAB and sort of what to expect, how residents can assist with calling the right numbers and looking for the right things and identifying EAB. For us, we sort of developed a small group, myself, Jen Mongolo with Parks Planning Natural Resources, and Don Gunther, and we've been meeting sort of bi-weekly, talking about our strategies after we meet with ODA, which we've met with Oregon Department of Agriculture and Oregon Department of Forestry multiple times, and we're now included on their task force meeting, so we stay abreast of sort of current programs and initiatives and sort of findings from that group, as well as sort of trying to develop our own plan, which, you know, us hearing from ODA and from ODF, they're sort of promoting municipalities like Salem to sort of come up with their own plan. Don't depend on them to hear certain things or you know, to sort of make an action plan. So, you know, one good thing for us, we've been working on our street tree inventory over the last 2.5 years, and the folks I've talked to at ODF say that's sort of the number one thing, is to have a complete inventory. So we feel good about the city trees as far as street trees in the right of way, with our ability to deal with Emerald Ash Borer and sort of how we're going to move forward with some of our plans with that. The hard part's going to be the park trees and trees along all of our waterways and open areas where we have native Oregon ash. So we are meeting next week with Oregon Department of Forestry, someone who's going to meet with us and talk to us through some of those you know, open area issues with ash, and maybe some plans and ideas on best ways to move forward for us dealing with the borer. Let's see what else. I did give you guys a little bit of update in my report. I don't know if you read that or if you have any other questions, but I mean, I think for us right now, it's just coming up with a good plan. We don't expect EAB to be in town until, you know, 3 years from now is our guess. They have only found it in Forest Grove in multiple locations. Now they've identified it and throughout Forest Grove, a pretty fair number of trees that have shown signs and symptoms of EAB. So, but that's still the only place in Oregon. So, you know, that's good news for us as far as planning. It gives us some time to come up with a real legitimate management plan. So I don't know if you guys have any questions, but that's pretty much all I have based, unless you would like me to read through the report I sort of gave you guys.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead, Al. You can go first.
It's apparent in going through Minto Brown and through the park that 'tis the season for a particular hatch of some woolly caterpillars. The rust and black woolly bugger caterpillars are coming out. You see them in commonly through the park. That's not a problem, is it? It just seems like there's a lot of them around these days. It's not an infestation, and it's just a seasonable hatch, I presume. Is that right, Mylon?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Nothing to be concerned about.
I didn't think so. I just wanted to be sure. Thanks.
Mylon, on the report, thank you again for writing all this out. It's a lot of trees that are being proposed for removal based on the guidance of 12 DBH. And I guess I was just trying to understand, is that pretty much set in stone at this point that you're going to be looking at around 1,000 trees to remove and replace? Or is it with some of those fair trees and the good, or is it possible that you might keep some of those as you investigate them further?
Yeah, I mean, I think anything's possible moving forward with this. We'll see what kind of talks we have with ODF. What kind of, you know, they want to match funding with us and anything that we propose to do pretty soon. Just some thinking about it, you know, I've seen it before on the East Coast, and it's just a different sort of process with a tree dying. It's so fast, and it makes the tree so dangerous. Really, it's the tree really just becomes like a crispy, you know, the way the sort of an ash tree is set up with a thin xylem and phloem layer, that sort of super thin layer that the they just bore in and immediately cuts off all water access and all any sort of nutrient sort of transport up and down the tree. So it's not sort of a slow death. It's something that happens really quick, and it makes these trees dangerous. So, you know, the faster we can act, I know it seems really rash, the faster we can act, the faster we can get in and replace some of these trees that, you know, if we did leave them, it's not like they're going to survive emerald ash borer. There's nothing that's going to stop the borer. You know, there is treatment, but the treatment just prolongs the life of the tree. So if you're going to treat the tree, you're going to treat it, you know, every 2 years until you're done treating it. So, and once you stop treating it, then, you know, the borer is still going to be here living in the native ash population, and it will find sort of one of these trees. So what we're trying to do, we'll try to sort of, you know, maintain canopy for as long as we can. It's cheaper to treat these trees, you know, anything 12 and over, than it is to remove them. So we can treat them for an extended period of time while we're removing other trees and replacing this canopy with other trees. So the thought process behind removing some of the smaller trees, you know, the 12 inch and under, which we can start with, you know, even the smallest trees, the trees we just planted over the last couple of years, or the trees that have been planted 5 years ago, to sort of immediately remove those and replace them with new trees. That way we're not sort of wasting any time replacing canopy. I don't know if that helps any.
It does. I mean, yeah, like you said, it seems rash, but it makes sense when you justify it. I guess I wonder, in terms of public education and outreach with some of this, because obviously that's a lot of trees, especially in the areas where maybe it's more visible to people in terms of parks and whatnot. Is it something, I don't want to, you know, make more signs, but is there temporary signs that the city could put up that, you know, kind of like the eagle ones, where it's like a, you know, here's a stake in the ground of like emerald ash borer, just like a very short educational thing? I was looking at the link that that Jen just put in the chat, just trying to think about, you know, anytime we're simultaneously communicating to the public, we want more tree canopy, plant more trees, and then we're going to be removing some. And I think it's helpful, if possible, just to let folks know what's going on.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we'll be putting out door hangers in the neighborhood where trees are removed, not just where the house it's in front of, but neighboring, you know, residences. And I think, yes, in parks, I think it's going to be, when we get there, you know, 5 years from now, 4 years from now, we'll need to put signs out. And I think we'll have to let people know to be careful also on some of the nature trails and stuff, because there will be trees that, there'll be a lot of dead trees in Minto and along a lot of our natural areas that we won't be removing. Those will just be there. But just to make people aware, in some of the busier areas, yes, we will be removing trees, sometimes before they're dead, sometimes, you know, after. But in during that process, I think outreach will be really important. I don't think there's anything wrong with putting up signs. We'll probably put up signs next year, letting people know that we're putting traps out. That's something we will be doing. They're not pheromone traps. They're just traps to let us know if EAB is here. Mm-hmm. Big purple sort of sticky traps. So we'll start putting some of those out next year and the next year, just so we know if it's here. But we want to do a really big outreach campaign, even more so than what is on the web currently. So that'll be part of our management plan, I think, is good outreach in this whole process.
That's really good to know. And one thing that's on my mind is thinking about the retreat, which we'll come back to later, is just thinking about our role as SPRAB members. And we've talked about, I know Rick had a great suggestion the other day about us going to neighborhood associations more often and things like that. And I think the more we can coordinate that education too, so we all have, you know, we're ready to share this website and give an update on things that are coming up. And that way, you know, there's only one of you, Mylan. As great as you are, it's hard for you to be at all these meetings. So the more we can have that information ready and go around, and I think that'll be good. So
yeah,
helps for the next year.
And for this, I mean, Jennifer's taken the lead on a lot of this. So she's worked really closely with ODA, and I've worked closely with ODF. So really just trying to, and Don Gunther really wants to be involved with this. This is something that's sort of in his wheelhouse. So, you know, there'll be three of us that are super involved with this management plan, and we'll be able to help out too, to go into different neighborhood committees, talking to city council, talking to management staff about sort of our needs And as soon as we know something that we think is going to work, we'll bring it to you guys so you're aware of it before we take it beyond sort of up the chain for funding or for approval.
Wonderful. Thank you. While we have Mylan on camera and on the mic and everything, do folks have questions about the urban forestry report? Might be a good time for that. If there's anything folks were going to ask about. Okay. I'm not hearing any. So Mylan, thank you so much. I really appreciate the updates and thanks for letting us know more of where we're at with Emerald Ash Borer.
Okay, yeah, and we'll let you guys know more soon. And I think we'll be ready for the Heritage Tree Report update for the next month's meeting for you guys. And Don Gunther is going to give the presentation.
Wonderful. All right.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you. Let's go over to Rob for the Capital Improvement Plan Committee update.
Good evening, everyone. Rob Romanak, Parks Natural Resources Planning Manager for Public Works. I prepared a few slides tonight just to give you a kind of a mid-year check-in as we prepare next year's capital improvement plan. A lot of the slides I'm going to share with you here in a moment are just recycled of some slides I shared with you and Tammy Starr shared with you, excuse me, when she came and gave you a kind of a full complete briefing on the CIP of several months ago. Okay. So first, just to go over some background here, how do projects get into the city's five-year capital improvement plan? Projects are submitted by citizens, so there's the mechanism through our city's website where anyone can submit a project idea.
Rob, sorry to interrupt. Oh, we're seeing your...
sorry about that.
That's okay. I think you may be able to just flip it if you go to the display settings.
Let's try this one more time. Is that better? Excellent, thank you. So projects are submitted by, as I said before, anyone can submit a project idea through the city's website as well as city departments. And just for knowledge, the majority are from city departments. Public Works staff works with in individual CIP committees depending on the infrastructure category. So there is a park specific infrastructure committee that meets kind of throughout the year to form the CIP for next year. Projects are identified through this process, and then we do public outreach through the whole way. We do public outreach in various ways. We do it when we update the park system master plan. We do outreach when we do individual park master plans. There's a public hearing process for the actual, several of them, for the actual formal adoption of the CIP. Kind of when a draft is prepared in late winter, it is sent to the budget committee, and they approve it, or they recommend an approval to city council, and then kind of right there in June usually, or sometimes in May, city council adopts it. I mentioned the committee. I want to talk a little bit more about that in the process. So step one is the committee begins meeting, and this has already happened for next year's CIP. And we just completed reviewing what we call issues, new issues and active issues. Before a project is programmed into the CIP, it's referred to as an issue. In a moment, I'll show you some highlights of some new issues that we've identified that will be scored, because that's the next step. After we identify and review the issue list, we score the project. So I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. That is going to be in the next month or two. early in next year in January. So the programming will actually occur. That's when we take high scoring projects and that we have identified funding sources for, and we actually program them into the CIP. Then a draft document is prepared. There's presentations at all levels. This is usually when SPRAD receives its presentation. And then finally, it goes through that adoption process, starting with the budget committee. So I do want to highlight some new active issues that we've identified this year. The first two here on the left are trash compactors. So Riverfront Park and Wallace Marine Park are both in need of trash compactors. That's from Jennifer Keller's group at Park Operations. We've also identified a potential opportunity to acquire a piece of property in West Salem. So we'll be adding a active issue for what we call the potential acquisition in the River Bend Road area. And that title may get a little better as the process moves through the year. And then finally, as I've looked at the master plans we've completed in the last few years, as well as the master plans that are in our current CIP forecasted for funding in the future, identified a couple development projects or improvement projects that were missing. So we want to get those included as well. And that includes McKay School Park, as well as two undeveloped neighborhood parks, and then D Street Park, which is going to be a community park. On the right is a list of four projects that are a little bit new, a little bit different. So in the past year, there have been two approved subdivisions going through the land use approval process in the city. And as part of their approval, they have been conditioned to give the city, compensated, but they will provide park space in the subdivision. So the city will be acquiring those properties. And as well, they will be in making improvements that we call pre-development improvements. This is discussed in the Comprehensive Park System Master Plan, a mechanism that developers can enhance park properties before they give them to us. And so they will be reimbursed for those costs as well. So we're trying this kind of new technique to make sure that some properties that we're bringing into our system have some very basic improvements, as they may wait years to be master planned and have some development occur. So those two projects are both subdivisions that are located in South Salem. One is going to be kind of at the let's say it's the east end of Fayberry, and that's a natural area, and it's going to have some wetland enhancements made to it before it's handed over to the city, as well as some potential trails and amenities added. The other one is more kind of at the far south end of Salem, Robin's Lane, and that is an opportunity the city has to acquire a new neighborhood park, and there'll be some grading and a path put in as it is transferred over to the city. Here's just a list that I may reference if there's questions. These are the current projects in the city's five-year CIP. So we have quite a few. I did highlight one in yellow under acquisitions. Since Tammy provided an update to you, I believe in May, during the Citizens Budget Committee, there was a request to add an additional project from Councillor Stapleton, and that was approved, and so the city staff did that. And it is an acquisition of a neighborhood park in around the fairgrounds area. So since you saw this, that project was added. I believe it's programmed for next year to be funded. I just want to touch quickly on scoring criteria, because that's the next step, is that staff will be scoring the projects. There are multiple staff members in the committee that are going to be scoring the park projects. Just a reminder that park operation projects that more maintenance and operation related have slightly different criteria. And our group, Parks Planning and Development, we don't consider all of these. We don't consider tourism development, for example, or asset criticality because it's a new facility. That's not relevant. But highlight here is social and geographic equity. This is an area that only I score for all projects, and I use a data-driven formula to do so. Something we call a park need index is the main component of that. I developed that several years ago, and it's using kind of older data and as well as some older demographic information. So I am updating it right now. And if the board was interested, I could provide more information about that. But so that all the projects will be rescored. seeing how demographics change, there could possibly be some slight adjustments there. And with that, and my short presentation, I just wanted to give an update based on Dylan's request to provide some information kind of more midway through our process. If there's any questions, happy to take those.
Thank you so much, Rob. I have just a couple clarifying one, or just a smaller ones. One was, could you remind me who the CIP committee is made up of before it goes to the budget committee?
Yeah, it is. It's Tammy Starr chairs it. It's myself, Jennifer Keller. And then with us is Robert Chandler, who of course is my supervisor, and Mark Bechtel, who Jen works for. There are typically two engineers as well. And sometimes they change year to year, but so we have two of our project manager from the engineering division are also on there.
Great. Thank you for that. And then with the Riverbend acquisition, I was just looking on a map. Is the hope that could then tie into the future Marine Drive if that is funded and that there could be a linkage between the two?
Yeah, I this is one of those things that we're really in the early stages of this one. So I will just, yes to your question, but I don't have a ton of information about this. It's very fluid. I'll just leave it there. But it's something where we may need a significant amount of funds in the future. So better to add it now.
Yeah. Property is not cheap these days, so it makes sense. Do folks have, Rick.
Yeah, I don't know. I one question I wanted to ask was about the bond measure coming up. I know from statistics, from analytics, which is, I guess, a new word, that when you put up anything that having to do with taxes, that you're going to have an automatic 45% no vote. And then, and in looking at the limited information that I've seen on the bond measure, it's been supported by the Chamber of Commerce, which is big. And everybody, but I have not seen any information, hardly any information out to the public about the bond measure. And, I don't know, is it the fact that there's just a feeling that it's going to pass and we don't need to worry about it? Or I'm not sure what that situation is, what are we looking at here? Go ahead.
I just want to jump in that I know that city staff have some limitations on what they can talk about with the bond, just given that it is coming up for a vote. And so I want to spare Rob a little bit here. And I was planning to talk a little bit about it tonight, but Rob, I guess before I go, is there anything you would like to say, given what you can say?
Dylan, I'm going to let you speak to it. And if there's anything I can clarify after that, I'd be happy to do so.
And Rick, just as I mentioned, there's just some legal limitations there and things have to get approved in the city. And so I just put a link to the bond page and I'm glad you brought this up. So this has all the information. I think you're right that there's been a limitation. There's probably hasn't been as much information. I've seen a couple signs. Thankfully, from what I can gather, it's all support from, everyone from Salmon Parks Foundation Chamber, others that are out there. And there's been a lot of presentations that I've heard about from people. But I think this is a case where all of us can be really good advocates in the community and thinking about our neighbors, our friends, the groups we're part of. If you haven't yet, I would encourage everyone to take a look through the page that I shared there. And if you scroll down, you can see some of the direct projects and input and impacts when it comes to parks. There's quite a bit of money that would come into the park side of things. It's $28.4 million for park upgrades. There's also money going into bicycle and pedestrian access, which is something we've talked about a lot here and intersects very nicely with parks as well as sidewalks, which obviously means that can you get to the parks? So I think, Rick, you're right that there hasn't been as much talk about this. And, whenever we talk about it, I would just recommend we all reinforce the fact that this would keep property tax levels stable, so there would not be an increase. So you can get the $300 million bond without increasing taxes, on top of the fact that this is a 10-year bond. And so it's not just about tomorrow, but really thinking about 10 years. We've passed the Climate Action Plan. We've passed our Salem. We have a lot of really big plans and ideas. And this is a really key way for us to make sure we're funding it going into the future. So I think the bottom line is, I encourage you all to look at this and talk with folks, because I think this is a pretty big opportunity for Salem, and I think it for the parks, but also just for the community at large. All right. Any other questions for Rob specifically around CIP? Yeah, Debbie. Oh, you're on mute. Let's make sure we unmute you so we can hear your question.
Okay. I just want to know what areas of Salem have the greatest park needs. I mean, is it south, north? What kind of thing do you see?
Just to quickly summarize, this is the geographic equity component of the tool. It's Northeast Salem. It's really everywhere in town, but if there's kind of a bright red area, it's Northeast Salem. And then from there, it's the edges of the city where we're still developing. So there are not as many facilities available.
Great.
So that would include South Salem and West Salem as well.
I'll follow up on that, Rob. Do we have a target metric for how many parks in award? Or, you know, I know there's the 10-minute walk campaign that the Trust for Public Lands has that some cities have signed up for. Do we have a goal like that that we're striving for? Or is it more of just get as many parks as possible in every ward?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's really two mechanisms we have. We have level of service, park acreage level of service by three different park classes: the neighborhood parks, community parks, and urban parks. So we're supposed to have a certain ratio of park land per 1,000 residents. We also utilize a neighborhood park service area. So the idea is that a resident should live within a neighborhood with an access to a neighborhood park within a half mile. A neighborhood park service area could be also a community park or an urban park. So that serves that function for the residents. And that's kind of similar to a 10-minute walk situation. The idea is that everyone should be in a quick walking distance from a neighborhood park.
Rob, those are both goals that are set by city council through the park master planning process, or
that is correct, Keith. Both are policies in the Salem Comprehensive Park System Master Plan.
Comprehensive plan. That's what I was thinking of. Thank you.
Given that's the goal, Rob, this might be a longer conversation, but I know the 10-minute walk, there's like a lot of promotional materials and things like that and resources for cities. Is there, if we already have the half mile goal, which is roughly 10 minute walk, is there any downside? Like, should we be signing up, or is Salem part of that? I just wonder if like we're missing out on an opportunity here to get our name out there and promote our parks and whatnot.
Salem is not a member. I think something that we could explore, or SPRAB could look at, and then potentially make a recommendation.
I will take that one on. I'm pretty familiar with that. I know some folks over at TPL. So definitely don't want to, if it creates a bunch of work, it's not worth it. But if it's something where, you know, Salem's on the map for the good park stuff and it lines up with what we already have, seems like a no-brainer to me. But I'll look into that. Any other questions for Rob? All right. Rick, I didn't see the physical hand there. Yes, please go.
I just got lazy for a second. In looking at the land acquisitions, one thing that Alan and I noticed when we were doing our visitation of all the parks in the city was under the areas that really didn't have access to or easy access to city parks. And one of those areas was along Corden Road. And that the acquisition that I saw, I think it said State and Corden Road, that to me is going to be big, because there are huge housing developments going in along there. And it's, you know, I think it's really wise that we made that acquisition of land at that, in that area. So thank you for that.
Yes, I'll just clarify that is a funded acquisition, but it is not complete. We anticipate negotiations will occur with the property owner in the next 6 months. So it's something that's kind of on the horizon.
Okay. Yeah, the old mushroom factory.
Yeah.
Area, the they built all these housing projects next to a mushroom factory that had foul smells, and so people got their homes for a reduced price, and then they complained about the smell and got it moved, which is concerning. But, you know, the big housing projects to take in the place of that, in that area there, that's an underserved area. So thank you again for looking at that.
Is there a goal for dog parks, like a citywide goal for how many dog parks per population?
Yes, there is. So I believe so, I should say. I believe there is, and I don't want to misspeak, but I believe we need 4 more of them to meet the desired level of service identified in our system plan. So the park system master plan, or comprehensive park system master plan, it identifies a desired level of service for many park amenities, and dog parks being one of them.
And there will be a new dog park associated with Gear, right, as an addition from city council after the master plan, isn't that right?
We have two community parks that have dog parks identified in their master plan that don't exist. So that would be Gear Park and Fairview Park.
The other general note I'll make on that is just a reminder that our comprehensive master plan is due up for revision and renewal. I think, is it next year, Rob, that we're hoping that process at least gets started. And so if that's where those goals are, well, that's something that this body can maybe think about. What do we want to recommend those goals should be in the revisions of that plan?
Yes, that's correct. So in approximately a year, we'll be starting in earnest on a major update to the plan. We'll be starting with a needs assessment. So that was kind of where we are in a year from now.
All right. Anything else for Rob on this? Well, Rob, the next item is the annual report planning. I think you were going to share that. So I'll give the mic back over to you.
Thank you. I just want to give an opportunity before the staff gets deep into a draft of the annual report to have any board members express any feedback with maybe remarks regarding last year's report and suggestions or anything like that. I just wanted to provide an opportunity. If helpful, I can pull up last year's report. It is, which I will do. It is organized by the main action areas of the City Council strategic plan. Just as a reminder. So those would be safe community, welcoming livable community, strong and diverse economy, safe, reliable, and efficient infrastructure, natural environment stewardship, good governance. Just want to give an opportunity if there's any kind of thoughts about this, and if not, that's fine. We can certainly prepare a draft and get that back to the board for review at a later time. Just wanted to check in before we cut loose on drafting this year's document.
Could you scroll down again to one of the pages for us, please? Just, I was trying to remember exactly how they relate it, the sections. So we endorsed or recommended the following actions. Okay.
Rob, in terms of the organization of that You said, I'm sorry, it's organized by the goals of the strategic plan of the city?
Yeah, so right here it says the 6 established results areas of the city council strategic plan. That's those areas. And so the city has moved to this performance-based budgeting model. And so everything, if you look at the city's city budget, for example, it's also organized by the 6 result areas. This is, I would recommend sticking with that, but I'm here to take input tonight.
That was going to be my question, is what's the recommendation? Is that framework what we think works best with city council? So that works for me.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I'm wondering about is if there's a way to pull out or identify some letters we've written to council. I know we've done more of those in the last year, and maybe that falls under good governance. I'm just trying to think about, and maybe this is not the right approach, but just where we've been a little bit more active and made actual recommendations to council, just how could be helpful to highlight so they're reminded of some of those roles, especially as we're thinking about our role in the future. But as I'm just looking through, it might be more complicated.
No, I think that's a good idea, Dylan, is we can organize it in these 6 areas, but then perhaps have an additional page or section that that more succinctly summarizes some of those action items that we've done that maybe will be duplicated in some areas of this report if they fit in, but that way we're not having to fit in and squeeze in some of those areas that may not fit well into one of the 6 items, right? And we can,
yeah.
And I think that, right. So what I was looking at is the another way to organize it would be more SPRAB centric of our own functions and duties as defined in the city code. And is there a way that it would be done that could be done there? But maybe that's how we could frame an additional section that captures some of those recommendations.
Rob, does that make sense to you? Do you think that would be easy enough to add in?
Okay. I think so. I think that's pretty clear.
Great. Well, I think that would be a good addition for us to try and really underscore some of the work we've done and give us something to build on a year from now. Hopefully we'll have even more. Any other thoughts from board members? All right. I don't see any physical hands either. So I think we're good to move on to our next item. I guess then our last report item is a SPRAB retreat planning. Rob, I'm trying to remember, was the draft agenda included in this? I don't think it was, right? Were you planning to share that?
I can pull it up.
Thank you. So I'll just start by saying huge kudos to Rob. He took the draft agenda that we talked about last time and built it out and made sure that it fit in with city requirements and added all the different items. We got confirmation from Councillor Hoy that he's going to be joining us, which will be great. So he'll give some opening remarks about his goals as mayor. And then we've broken it out with the history like we talked about. So there's going to be some staff presentations to make sure we're all up to speed on the basics. And then going into item 6, which is going to be opportunities for increased effectiveness and impact. So this is where there's going to be some staff recommendations that Rob has been working on. I really appreciate that. And then thinking this is where all of us can come in with some ideas of how can we make these meetings more effective in terms of letters and opportunities for endorsements and, you know, bringing in new ideas and whatnot, just to make sure we're as useful as possible to the city and to staff. Take a break. And then we have SPRAB engagement opportunities where we're going to talk through some of the different plans that are coming up or that have been approved, like climate action plan, and really thinking about opportunities for SPRAB to weigh in. And Keith, this is where your comment about the master plan, this coming up next year, we can be looking at that, but then also for the year ahead, what can we be working on more specifically? Rob, is there anything you would add that you've added to the agenda?
I don't believe I have anything to add, other than, you know, we're happy to make this a retreat that is meaningful for you all. So although this looks final, I think we are here tonight just to get some feedback, make sure we're on course.
What do folks think? Does this seem right to you all? Do you feel like this captures everything we talked about last time? Is there anything you would like to change or suggest?
It looks good. It looks long, but it looks good. I'm concerned, and I'm going to be transparent about my issue, and it will come up during item 8C and D, the updates of the Transportation System Plan and Comprehensive Park System Master Plan. And I really am all in about trying to figure out how the heck we can expand a bike path all the way to Kaiser Rapids Park. I really am serious about wanting to find out what needs to get done so that that can happen as soon as possible and do what I can to make it happen. So when we get to that in such a way I can find out more about that kind of goal, then that's what I'm anxious to find out more about.
I like it. And Rob, that makes me think some of the mapping and whatnot from our Salem and some of those might be helpful for us to have on hand of just thinking about how some of the future proposed trails and systems and development might factor into something like that conversation.
Right.
That's a great point. I will prepare some printouts. I think the maps in the park system master plan will be especially helpful. There is a trail system map included, proposed trail system map. And there is consistency with the TSP when it comes to shared use paths. And so the transportation system plan proposes some future trail connections that would bring us along the side of the river all the way up to Kaiser. And that's reflected in our trail system plan as well. So we'll have those available.
So if I can, thinking about that item number 8, to frame that up well in my mind, what we're looking at there is that will be a discussion about how SPRAB can engage in each one of those opportunities, not necessarily about what SPRAB will bring to each one of those opportunities. Is that an accurate framing in terms of it will be a discussion of here are opportunities that we see on the horizon. Where is it that SPRAB can kind of plug into those processes? What would SPRAB's role be in that? Not necessarily the content of what we do bring into those discussions.
I'll jump in there just so that my concept there is that I will give a very short overview of what I feel are going to be the main participation opportunities for SPRAB in each one of those. And then I'll open it. And then the rest of the time is for you all to discuss anything maybe I didn't bring up or the comments I made. That's my thought there. So I intend to kind of guide that discussion to a certain extent.
Okay.
Keith, I think following up on that, something that's on my mind is we've had some subcommittees to look at different issues. And I think that in some of this, it could make sense. We're only a 9-person board. So I think it could make sense to do some of that work as a full board. If there's certain recommendations and things that we could have some conversations. And so I guess a question that I think we should think about is, are there some where we'd want to dive a little deeper, such as the climate action plan recommendations, and maybe be bringing things back to discuss at the full meetings? We'll probably want to choose, it would be hard to work on all four at the same time, obviously. Thankfully, we have a little bit of time for some of the things like the park system master plan, but figuring out like a priority project that SPRAB could be more involved in and going down that way might make sense, but that can be part of the discussion.
Yeah, and I guess my thought is absolutely, but we're not gonna necessarily be, we're not looking to form recommendations at this meeting and this discussion. It's more about exploring what avenues for forming those recommendations we could have.
That would be my intent. Like, I think one possible outcome is that we could say we want to dive deep into the climate action plan recommendations. And I know we got some of that in our packet, which we'll get to shortly. And we could say similar to the park usage and planning subcommittee, members of SPRAB will do a review of other cities or something and bring in some recommendations, and then we'll put that forward. So no, I don't know. What was that?
It could be a way to chart. We could be charging ourselves with, okay, we're going to do this, or charging a subcommittee with, we're going to look into this deeper based on these opportunities that are before us.
I think that would be the hope. And then it would give us a guiding light for the next year. And so then we'd have something to check in on in different meetings and make sure we're making some progress. Okay. Rob, does that still line up with your thinking? I want to make sure we're not going in different directions here.
And Dylan, I saw Joan have her hand up as well.
Joan. I guess
yes, just real quick, but yes, Dylan, I think that's what my understanding was as well.
Perfect. All right, Joan, over to you.
I had asked that we could find out more about funding for park improvements. And that could be under a certain area. I just wanted to make sure it got in there, please.
I think that the hope is to include that under park improvements and acquisitions under item 5, Salem Park and Recreation Overview, is where staff will be giving some updates on some of the details, like how do we fund our park system? What's the history of SPRAB? So I think the whole goal is very much to have it in there. And Rob, please confirm if that's correct.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
Funding will be covered, you know, to a significant extent, both under 5C and 5D. In terms of park funding specifically.
All right. Any final thoughts? I'm looking for physical hands as well here. Woody, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure about whether this would be the place to bring it up, but I'm wondering about talking about reestablishing the tree committee. And the thing that I was thinking about discussing first would be that the rewrite of Chapter 86 is coming up. And I think that that's something that we should be involved in, because Chapter 86 deals with variances and appeals, what SPRAB has to do in those processes. It also has to deal with hearings processes and procedures themselves, and actually the functions of SPRAB within the city government. So I think we should probably look into that. I don't know if that would fit in here though, but.
Thank you, Woody. I just want to add that the update to that chapter of code is something that Robert Chandler presented an update on several months ago to SPRAB. And those updates he spoke about are just about to make their way to the Planning Commission and then the City Council. I believe there's a date in November that it will be going before the Planning Commission. So that's very current. That update is going to occur.
Okay.
But Woody, I think that idea of what is it going forward, what committees and issues do we see that need to be addressed is a good thought, right? And so one of the things I had jotted down is we tend to have a liaison from SPRAB to some of these master plans, and like what does that role actually mean? How can we better leverage that role as part of this master plan? So I think, I don't know if it's directly on that agenda, but I think we lost it, but whatever was right before the break might be the time for us to discuss those sort of opportunities as we are heading forward, right? Are there certain committees that we want to do? I know in the past, or at least at some point, we've had some sort of annual work plan that's been developed and approved, and that might be a time to bring forward that annual work plan for us to think about, okay, as we head into 2023, some of these opportunities that are ahead of us, what roles do we want to play there? So I think we should bring it up there, Woody, the tree committee.
Mm-hmm. A good idea, Woody, especially since we did have it and it kind of just went dormant due to COVID. So if nothing else, just for us to discuss what makes sense and make sure we have some resolution on that. Okay, anything else on this? This is going to be here before we know it. I'm really excited. It's going to be so fun to see you all in person and not just Zoom boxes. Debbie, yeah.
Yeah, I just think that I don't know if this is appropriate for this meeting or whatever for the advisory board meeting, but the retreat. But I still see the information for the community on the website as a real weakness. We were trying to put together an adventure group to do some hiking, and we wanted to know where our hiking trails are, and they have to be at least a mile long for this adventure group we were in. And that you just can't find that. You can't find parks to go visit based on, you know, do they have access to trails? You know, you can't even really see what a lot of them look like. I was looking at Marion County Parks, and they have a very complete website. And I realized they only have like 20 parks, but I just feel like the website is hindering people from finding out where they want to go in the city parks, and needs to be updated somehow or made of more of a priority.
Rob, I know the website has been an ongoing project for you all at the staff level. And I know I've made some suggestions in the past, and I think Debbie's right that there's need for more of that. I guess I'd wonder from your perspective, is it the kind of thing where there could be like a running list of staff of SPRAB suggestions for staff to consider? How is that process going, I guess, for you relating liaising with IT and trying to actually get updates in place?
This is an area where I will admit that we're a little weak. And there are a couple of things I want to speak to about it. First is it isn't a subject where Jennifer Keller should really be engaged in it. It is largely on her end. We are switching to a new asset management inventory system in the city. And with that, one of the hopes is that we will do a lot better with this kind of thing. So like we could have some kind of connection between our website and our asset management system, so we can report like trail miles, for example, per park. Again, this is something I think Jennifer Keller should be a part of. The last thing I'm going to say is through the Art Dillon process, I had an opportunity to do a lot of outreach with the community development planning department. And this was actually a topic that we asked about. And it was one of the surprising response we got is there's very mixed public opinion about the priority of city resources being invested into this particular area. And so just keep that in mind. It surprises me, but it was an area where it wasn't, you know, people generally think it's very important that we keep acquiring parkland, that we develop our parkland, that we consider equity in our priorities. But when we get to things like, you know, should we invest information, time and resources into, you know, sharing the city's trail system and sharing the park amenities, there are very mixed reactions.
Rob, I was trying to look. There, I think, is a park finder map that used to have a full like attributes table where you could search for various things. I don't know if it got to a specific detail of trail length, but I remember that being helpful. I can't find it at the moment.
So. It is still available on the city's website. I will also admit it's not as prevalent as it used to be, but it is. If you go to the parks activities page, there is a button for it somewhere. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
And it's called Salem Park Finder, right?
That's correct. It is.
Okay. And just put the link in the chat.
There you go.
So, Rob, I hear what you're saying. I'd be curious to know more about the question of how that's worded. I think there's investing ongoing resources into it, but I can see that maybe there's some opinions on that. But I also feel like there's might be a base level of information that the public might. I guess what I'm saying is maybe when folks answer that question, they assume that there's a base level of information on the website, and maybe that's where that we could be improving on that. And I think what you're saying with the asset management and some of these other tools can help with that, but. Okay, anything else before we move on? All right, we will go into board member updates. Mine was going to be about the bond, so I already did that. So anything else folks want to share for a board member update?
For me, I think my role as the SPRAB's representative to the Salem Public Library Strategic Planning Committee has come to an end. So that process concluded with a final meeting in early September. And the strategic plan is being kind of polished up and will be making its way through the approval processes up to city council here. I don't remember if it was this month or next month that it's supposed to be making it up, but you should be seeing a new Salem Public Library strategic plan at some point in the near future.
Are there any big highlights from the parks angle that we should know about?
I don't know that there are anything specifically from the parks angle. There was a lot of interest in expanding in the public library, expanding branches and expanding kind of outreach into the community and developing partnerships within the community and with other agencies. So there was some talk about the strategic plan being able to support finding funding and resources to develop either new branches or mobile branches, which could be developed or used in concert with some park activities, was some of the discussion around that. So a few things that touch on intercity relationships there.
Great. Well, please share the final strategic plan when it's ready, and maybe send it along to Rob and Nancy so they can send it to all of us next month. Yes, Alan.
Mickey Varney was formerly a liaison with the West Salem Neighborhood Association in this group and has moved on, but that group asked me if I would communicate with them, and I deferred from making it an official relationship, but also said that I'd be glad to attend their meetings on occasion or when I can and communicate what I will. So there will be some information going on there, and I'd like what Rick's suggestion is about getting back to the neighborhood associations back and forth. I will be trying to do that better with West Salem.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Al. Appreciate you taking on that role. All right. Not seeing any other updates. I think I froze for a second there. Not seeing any other updates. Let's move on to our information reports. So let's see. I think there we go. Christine, do you have any verbal updates you want to share? Thank you for all the information.
Sure. The only thing I wanted to add to the written information that you have, Mr. Chairman, is that last night, SCAN, South Central Association of Neighbors, voted to help us with some fundraising opportunities for our work in the to revitalize the old Rose Garden. So we're really excited to have the full support of the Neighborhood Association in that project. We think that may actually be bringing people to town, because for some reason, people just get really crazy about roses. And I'm open to questions if people have any questions.
Al, were you raising your hand? Okay. Any questions? Well, the reports were really comprehensive. I don't have any questions. I appreciate it. I know it's a lot of work to put these together, so I really appreciate it. I know it's good for us to be aware of everything that's happening.
I'm sorry to burden you with so many pages.
No, it's helpful, and we always appreciate the photos. It's always good to see it. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christine. We already did our urban forestry update, parks and natural resource planning update. So Rob, I know we just had you on, but we'll bring you back now. Do folks have any questions for Rob about his report? I guess I'll kick it off. It's just, first off, thanks for sharing these updates about the Salem Climate Action Plan and some of the updates on those. It seems to me the pieces about, I can't try and remember the number, I was gonna pull it up here. The really thinking about the public education pieces are ones that I'd love for us to really think about revisiting during the retreat in terms of how SPRAB can play a role. It seems like a very natural fit for us, and I'll have to look up the numbers later, but number 13, NR 13, develop and implement an outreach and education program for property owners to raise awareness. It just seems like a really natural fit for SPRAB to help with, and especially given the ice storm and like recovering with our tree canopy. So would love to just know, Rob, do you have any other thoughts? I would think that if everyone here has not read through these, it would be good for us to read through these all ahead of the retreat, just to make sure everyone's coming in with an update of where things stand. But anything else you would add on that, Rob?
No, I think that's excellent. The only thing I want to add to my report tonight is that actually we have Jen Monglo here this evening, and I would want to ask her if it's okay just to speak a few minutes about a little supplemental update with the mica vegetation planting project.
That'd be great. Hey, Jen.
Hey, good to see you guys. I know I'm not on these meetings very often, but it's always a pleasure to come and share information with you. So Rob asked me to share a little update. I saw in the in the minutes from last meeting that you were already discussing the native plant buffer that we're installing along the Minto Island Conservation Area paved path. I wanted to share about that. One of the reasons that we started that project when we did was that it is a requirement of a land use agreement that we entered into with Bonneville Power Administration, which is the easement holder for the Minto Island Conservation Area. So we, back in 2018, we implemented some event restrictions for the Minto Island Conservation Area as an administrative role for the city. And we also had those approved by our easement holder, BPA. And recently we have become aware that there's a lot more use on these trails than we, on this specific trail and using the bridge than was previously the case when we first started those event restrictions. So we have worked out an agreement with BPA for 2 years to test out two larger events during the bird nesting season, up to 3,000 participants twice during bird nesting season. Previously, the limit was one large event, not to exceed, I believe it was 1,000 participants. We had trail counters, pedestrian and cyclist trail counters at that bridge for a number of years. And we were seeing on a regular daily basis, there was anywhere from about 2,000 to 3,000 just normal trail users. So BPA agreed to allow us to increase, it's kind of a trial period. Part of that agreement to increase the trail users, the event participants for two events during nesting season was that we would install the native plant buffer along 20 to 25 feet on both sides of that trail. And also, what else was there? I got a little sidetracked there.
Increase the participants, number of events, and we have to do the trail buffer. Those are the big ones.
Okay, yeah. So I wanted to let you guys know that you will see probably coming out soon that we are updating the administrative rule that the city implemented in 2018 to reflect those changes. And then once this term, this kind of interim trial period for the trail participants is completed, then we will go back to the drawing board and look at the data. We're doing some monitoring during these events with biologists to see what impacts there are, if any, of having these large events. So we'll look at that data, we'll look at how successful the trail buffer is, and then we will come up with longer term event restrictions based on those things. And we hope to be able to continue having large events, but that will all remain, you know, to be seen once we get through this interim period.
So I just will summarize it. We're piloting, you know, some more flexibility in our rules. And so there's going to be an update soon to our administrative rules, and then possibly another update as we renegotiate things with the easement holder. So things are going to be a little odd because we usually don't change the rules, and then knowing we're going to change the rules again. But in this case, that's kind of the intention.
So let me know if you have any questions about what's going on in the Minto Island Conservation Area. I know this kind of long-winded explanation. It's a little bit convoluted, but wanted to make you guys aware.
I appreciate it. Al, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I've been following the eagles of Minto Brown closely this summer and fall and last spring. Can we get a summary of the number that were actually fledged? Was it two or three from that one across from the carousel, and then one from the one that was being observed from? And but what about the third one up farther up, you know, upstream?
So we only actively monitor the nest in Minto Brown Island Park. The the nest across the slough from the carousel is not actually on the city property. It's on Audubon property. We are considering setting up the volunteer monitoring program for next season to monitor that nest, but we don't have data from that nest. And I went out there to check it multiple times early in the season when the leaves were off the trees. It was really easy to see in that nest. And I saw that at least two eaglets had hatched, but I wasn't able to see it later in the season. The leaf out just really obscured the view of the nest from Riverfront Park. As with my limited, my binoculars, I don't have a nice fancy spotting scope. So somebody else may have been watching it closer with a spotting scope. The nest in Minto Brown, we know for sure that one eaglet fledged. It fledged a couple weeks later than we were expecting. So that was, we thought we knew when it hatched. So we thought we knew when it was going to fledge. And that was a good lesson for all of us not to count on our calculations when we're planning events and such. And then the other nest that's farther downstream, I believe, I think there's another one across from the county park across the river. We don't monitor that either. It's not on our property. So it's not really in our purview.
Was the damage done on the trees in Riverfront Park that were then later felled out of safety concerns, was that damage done by the same beaver that has a small dam upstream from on the slough above Courtney Bridge?
It could be. It's hard to say. We don't have the beavers tagged. We don't track them. So we wouldn't really be able to know that for sure. Often there's multiple beavers. There's usually a whole family of beavers that live together. So it could be the same family. It's really hard to say how big their territories are out there. We haven't done those studies yet.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jen, that's a good segue. I know early on we talked, or I guess this summer, we talked about the beaver situation, and I don't think you were here for that meeting. We talked about maybe having a beaver update at some point in the fall. So I guess, are there any updates you can share with us now about the beaver response and where things are since the summer?
I wish I had an update for you on that. I don't know if you guys are all aware that we did set up a web page about coexisting with beaver for the public. And internally, I've shared the strategy quite extensively, and we're kind of informally implementing a lot of those strategies, but it has not been finalized. It hasn't been completed. The vetting of the plan hasn't been completed by legal counsel yet. So we are still waiting on those that input before we can finalize it.
Gotcha. Any other questions for Rob or Jen about Parks Natural Resource Planning and the update? All right, I'm seeing none. Thank you both so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
For Parks Operations, I know we are missing Jennifer tonight. She was not feeling well. So do folks have any questions you want to raise? And we can ask someone else, Rob or Becky, to relay those on for us. All right, not seeing any. Recreation update. I do see we have Becky on the call, so we can pause here. Do folks have questions? Or Becky, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, a couple things. One that came up today. I had as many of you know, I also assist with events, not just in parks, but also on streets. I don't know if any of you knew, but there has been a conversation, and today we met the Salem Main Street Association is looking to have a holiday event and kind of a little mini parade on Small Business Saturday. That'd be the 26th of November. I shared a little bit of information with Jennifer in relationship to the tree lighting that you'll see on the report that was provided. We're looking at that on Friday, December 2nd. But as part of that, we learned today that they are also planning to light a tree in the downtown area and have some carolers and a tree lighting concert, things of that nature. So I think the seed has been planted now that the COVID is relaxed a little bit and people are going back to events, that there'll be some activities in the downtown area for the holidays. And what does that mean to what we're doing in the park? Not so much with the holiday lighting, but with the tree lighting specifically. So I'll be working with Jennifer on that in the coming months, weeks, before the event on the 2nd. We're looking to still do the lighting and focus on just coming down to Riverfront Park and enjoying the holidays. And then the lighting that they're doing, of course, will be up through most of December, so people can come down and enjoy the holidays for free, just enjoying a evening at the park and taking photos and such. But they'll potentially, maybe we'll see what that impact does. You know, if there's a one sole city holiday tree or what, I don't know what's going to come from that. But anyway, that was one thing. And then the other thing, and we didn't put it in the report, there's a group of city staff that'll be meeting with folks from the Oregon State Fairgrounds and the 4th of July fireworks. As Jennifer was actually just speaking about, there is a bald eagle's nest on that peninsula. And we had been shooting fireworks off from the riverfront boat dock and how that was not probably, you know, going to continue to be able to happen. So we are investigating other locations, possible options for doing fireworks still in Salem, but maybe not at Riverfront. That we didn't put that in the report because at that time we hadn't gotten some information from other city staff and other entities, but we'll be meeting with Oregon State Fairgrounds as one of the groups that we're meeting with to find out, you know, what we can maybe do. So kind of a positive that we're still considering doing it, but, you know, that location is not necessarily the best option as we look at going forward, at least for maybe next year and future years. So, and I don't know if there's any questions or other information that I can share. I'd be more than happy to answer.
Well, I really appreciate those updates, and it's good to know about the tree lighting. I'm excited for that. I'm adding it to the calendar right now for the one that you all are putting on. And it's just fascinating how, I mean, I'm glad that the Eagles are doing so well, but yeah, that definitely puts a wrench in the plans. So appreciate the update on that as well.
Yeah, you bet.
Any questions from anyone else? All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, well, we're almost at the end of our agenda, so parks damage report is included. Let's go on to new business. Does anyone have new business you'd like to raise? All right, well, hearing none, we will be meeting in person next time we see each other at Pringle Hall on October 28th. Please reach out to Rob if you have any other thoughts, edits, or if you can't make it for any reason. But otherwise, we will see you all there, and this meeting is adjourned. Have a great night, everyone.